during that week, and to be back has been a blessing. I have thoroughly enjoyed my time. Started last night as I walked in to my host. Wonderful time of great to see him again, and have a wonderful time this morning, and being here fellowshipping and ministering alongside you all has been a joy. And as Pastor mentioned, having to spend just a little bit of time over lunch this afternoon, what a joy that was. I thoroughly enjoyed that time. And tonight I pray that it'll be another moment of Christ being glorified and us enjoying one another's fellowship. And so I just want to mention a few things about the ministry that we have in Ghana. It is a growing ministry. It is not a ministry that I will start. It is a ministry that I'm going to be part of. It is a ministry that God started many years ago. And I'm just privileged to go and be part of the people that serve alongside the several men that have been serving the Lord even before I was born. It's just a privilege to go back. But if you did come by my display, or if you haven't, I'll encourage you to come by. You will realize I have three words that I have captured my burden with. The first one is reaching. I think that is always a good place to begin in Christian ministry, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as I go back to Ghana, and as I mentioned, it's an existing ministry that I'm going to be part of. There is a radio ministry. The radio ministry have two important benefits. The first one, of course, is that it allows us to get the gospel out to many people at once at a time. And the radio ministry, we have about 3 to 4 slots in the course of the week. For some of them, we just go on the radio. It's all, everything is live there in Ghana. We go, and then for a period of 30 minutes to 45 minutes, we have the privilege of just preaching the gospel. And we have been doing that since the time we started, probably 20 to 25 years today. That ministry has been going on. And the Lord has blessed. We have seen different people hear the preachers on the radio, have followed up with phone calls, have followed up to churches, asked more questions, asked for more clarification, and some of them are now professing Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we are very thankful for that. And then the second benefit that ministry has is that the town we live in is called the town of Wa, and that town has the largest Muslim population in the entire country. And so you will not have these Muslims walking down your church doors or walking into your church doors in whatever service you may have. But on the radio, they have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And several of them do listen in, and we are very thankful for that ministry. So apart from the radio ministry, there are several other ministries that we use in reaching Ghanaians, especially those in the region that I'll be serving in with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Other ministries will include just door-to-door or street-to-street. People are very open. Even if they are sitting at their workplace could be a store that they are selling things. You can go in, and for the time that they are there, nobody's coming in, you have the privilege of presenting the gospel to them. And for villages, we still go out to the villages, ask permission from the village chief and elders, and we will usually set up a video presentation. We use the Jesus film, and then at the end of that film, we will just stand up and preach the gospel. And we have started many of our new church plants that way, and we're so burdened to see many more of them started. And so that is it on the reaching part. Then the next word is equipping. It is my belief and conviction that God's work today is through the local church. And I am burdened not just to see local churches started, but local churches that are already existing to be equipped in a way that they will be effective in reaching the communities where God has placed them. And we, of course, we realize that these local churches are made up of individuals that are constituents of families. And so we are burdened to train families to be able to witness to that next door neighbor, to be able to train, let's say, the student that is going off to boarding high school, to be able to reach his dorm mates, his classmates. You know, I know that was very important for me as I was in a boarding high school. And during the time that I was there, I saw some of my colleagues that I was able to share the gospel with come to trust Christ. And it is very vital that these young people be trained to be able to give the gospel, to see people come to trust Christ. And once they come to trust Christ, to be able to open the Bible and disciple them to live in a way that will glorify God. And so the several ministries opportunities, one of them will be used in like a training session in our local churches that will be starting. And then we have ministries in high schools. We'll be going to the high schools and training them to reach their fellow students. And then we have a jail ministry. The jail ministry, we just preach salvation, but I am burdened to train the inmates that are saved to be able to reach their fellow inmates. We just go in there 30 minutes in a week on a Saturday morning. They stay there 24/7. If they are trained, if they are equipped and can give the gospel effectively, they will see more people saved than I can see saved in a year or in 10 years. And so I'm burdened to see them trained that way. And then the last thing in my burden is training nationals. I'm a national, and so I appreciate the training that I have received both in Ghana and here in the States. But going back, it is going to be very needful, and around the world today, it is very needful for people that are called into full-time ministry to be given adequate and right training. Because truth that we are defending today, we have to first of all understand it. There are students in our colleges today, secular colleges that are being taught things that are anti-Bible, things that are anti-God. And we believe that if our churches be efficient in reaching these people, because we believe that they need Jesus too, we'll need to have preachers that will be able to rightly divide the word of God, as Paul told Timothy, and be able to defend the truth that they believe and proclaim. And so the Bible college that I graduated from is going to be one of the avenues that we will use in training young people that have surrendered their life for gospel ministry, to be trained so that they can effectively serve the Lord in a community that is growing and multiplying year after year. And so that is my burden going back to Ghana. A little bit of an update to you on how the Lord is working on deportation. I started full-time deportation back in May of last year. And the Lord has been very good. I have seen the Lord do many impossible things. And I'm just thrilled. It's all a confirmation to my heart and to my burden that the Lord is really in this. Since that time, the Lord has brought in 40% of my support. And I'm very thrilled. That is not the daily occurrence. That is not what you see in every situation. And I am just thankful to the Lord for his work in that area. And I'm just thrilled to see the Lord do more. But as going forward, I still have a few more months between now and May of this year to finish up a number of meetings. After this meeting, I think I have probably close to 20 other meetings that I'll be in from now till May, when I have to leave the country. And I'm trusting the Lord to bring in all the needed support by then to send me on my way. He's done it before. He will do it again. He has never failed, and I don't think he's planning on failing. And so I'm very optimistic in that way. Trusting the Lord. It's been a journey of faith. It's been a trail. It's an adventure. You never know what to expect. And that has been very encouraging, seeing the Lord do the impossible every single time. And so in May, I will go back to Ghana. And I think I mentioned this during our time, during the Sunday school hour. Apart from the joy and the vision to go back and get plucked back into ministry, I have a bride waiting for me. And so I have to get back there as soon as possible. And so I'm very excited because of that as well. So that's the second reason to be in Ghana sometime this year. And so I'm very thrilled about that. So at this point, I'm trusting the Lord to bring in all the needed support by May, if you will pray towards that end. And I encourage churches and individuals, if they are not able to take me on for full-time monthly support, you can consider sending just a one-time gift to my outfit and passage budget. That will help immensely, as that will speed me on my way to Ghana come May as well. So just so you know that. And I'll be available after the service to take more questions that will not be taken here. I'll take some questions here at this point, but still feel free to catch me after the service and ask any questions that you will have. And then if you pick up my prayer cards, you will have two of my email addresses. Please use them if you have any questions about my life, my ministry, and the work that God will be doing there. I'll be very glad to reach out to you and respond to you if you have any questions after I've even left here. All right, at this point, I'll take some questions if you have any. Yes, sir.
What's the population of Ghana?
31 million people, and adding, and counting, I will say. Yes. Back in 2010, the population was at 24 million. And so, in 12 years' time, we've seen more than 10 million people added to the population. Yes. Yes. And I don't think they are planning on stopping, so. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have issues with Muslims there?
Can you say that?
Muslims.
Thankfully, we don't. I think the only issues we have is that after we go on the radio and we preach the gospel, they will go and try to reteach what we have taught to steer people away from what we have taught. We are not worried about that because we believe that it's not us that are saving people. It is the power of the gospel. And so we are just continuing to preach the gospel. And amazingly, some of the radio stations that we go and preach on are actually owned and operated by Muslims. And that's why they come to it from, let's say, a business perspective, because we are buying the airtime. But just to even have that privilege is amazing. That is not common around the world, and we are very thrilled about that. And we are continuing to pray for the Lord to continue to keep that door open for us to continue to use that way. Down the road, it may come to a point where we will have to need our own radio station, but until then, we will continue to use what the Lord has for us at this point. Yes. Yes, yes, ma'am. My communications and deliberations with Baptist World Mission, we have talked about that over and over. So hopefully that the budget I have right now is going to be able to support my wife as well. Yes. Yes. Probably as the Lord continues to expand that number down the road, we may need more. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then, were you saved in the ministry that you're going back to?
No. I was saved in the ministry in a village. Now, when I say a village, I mean a place with a small amount of people. When I was growing up, we didn't have electricity, okay? That's what I mean by a village. So I got saved out of a ministry in that part of the country or in that section. But then that village is very close to the city and the town where I'll be working. And so I still have access to my home church, or the church that I got saved and was baptized. I'll be working alongside the man that led me to the Lord and baptized me. And I'll be working alongside him in several ways of in outreach and discipleship. I'll still be able to serve with him. It's a thrill. It's a thrill. Yes, there's a hand back there. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. English is the national language in Ghana, because here's the problem. Well, here's a good thing. We have so many ethnic languages that if you were to have 10 or let's say 5 to 10 different Ghanaians in a group, you can be sure that they don't speak the same ethnic language. Yes, and so we have so many, 40 to 50 different ones, and then over 100, 120 different dialects. And so English is the bridge. English is the bridge, and we are very thankful for that. Yes, yes, ma'am.
Is anyone else in your family saved, or are you the only one?
Thankfully, I am not the only one. I am the first of 7 children. I have a younger brother and then 5 younger sisters. All of them are saved by the grace of God. My mom is saved. She knows she's saved, trusting Christ alone for her salvation. I have 3 uncles. 2 of them are saved. My oldest uncle is actually serving in one of the churches there in Wa, at one of the Baptist churches in Wa. That's the town that I'll be working from. And then my second uncle, he is more charismatic, but he's saved. My last uncle, if you remember him, his name is Paul. Pray for him. He's still a staunch Roman Catholic. I would like to see him come to trust Christ. And I have an extended family on my grandfather's side that are all Muslim. So pray for them as well. But my immediate family, all of us are professing Christians, apart from my uncle, who is a Roman Catholic. Yes. One more question. Yes, sir. I will say there's a need for more Bibles in general in the country. There's a need for more Bibles in our area. As far as translations are concerned, we have our churches and the missionaries that started the work, have a Bible translation that are done by the nationals, of course, with language consultants and all that. So we have a full Bible translation that our churches are using right now. My mother tongue has the New Testament done, and they are still working on the Old Testament. So that is still in the making, but the entire church family or Baptist fraternity has a solid translation that we can rely on for ministry. For those that do not use English for ministry. Yes. Yes. All right. Let us turn our Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 1. And also, if you come by my table, you realize there's a sheet there. That's a sheet for you to put down your email address if you would like to be in touch. I usually send out updates and prayer letters if you would like to receive them. They are like newsletters, so if you would like to receive them, please put down your name and an email address that I can read, and I'll add you on my list, and then I'll be very delighted to send that to you. Acts chapter 1. I have thoroughly enjoyed the ministry of God's word here today, and I trust that tonight will be an encouragement to your heart. Acts chapter 1, we realize that Acts is a second part of Luke's writings. As he finished up the book that we call the Gospel according to Luke, we realize when he, at the beginning of Acts, gives us an indication that this is actually part 2 of the Gospel of Luke. And then we realize this portion or this book chronicles the works or the gospel of Jesus Christ are then passed on from the life and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ into the hands of his disciples. And then we realize as we got to the end of the book, there's really not an end to the book. Because the book ends with Paul in Rome, and Luke said, he was preaching the gospel, nobody hindering him. And so as most theologians and most commentators say, the book is an open-ended book because Luke believed that that book could have continued to be added on, not in the sense that it could be all that may come later could be added as inspired scripture, but the life of the church is supposed to continue to live on. After Paul has passed the scene, after all the disciples of Jesus Christ had gone away to be with the Lord in heaven. And so I want us to look at this text for the next few minutes and realize it is important for us as a church, and for us not just as a church, but as individual believers, to continue the work that Christ left before he went to heaven. And I want us to realize as we come to this text, there's just a phrase that I'm going to use for my text. And that phrase says, this same Jesus. This same Jesus. We find that phrase in the portion that we're going to look at in Acts chapter 1, verse number 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, that is referring to Jesus Christ, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Father, I pray that you bless your word. I pray that you will use it in my heart, use it in the hearts of my brothers and sisters here tonight. And Father, so encourage us to do the work that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to realize, first of all, that this phrase, this same Jesus, was used in the context of Jesus Christ coming again. After he came for the first time he came, the Bible tells us that he came to die for the sins of the world. And in the course of his ministry, we realize that he also said in Matthew 16 that it was his goal to build his church. And then we see the church ministry, or the establishment of the church, as some theologians believe, at the inauguration in Acts chapter 2, after Jesus Christ said, you will receive power. After they received that power, we see Peter standing up and then proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and actually accusing the Jews for crucifying the Messiah. And the Bible tells us that when they had all the arguments that Peter put forth against them, they were pricked to the hearts and they said, what shall we do? And Peter had the privilege of instructing to them faith in Christ. Faith in Christ that brings salvation. Faith in Christ that brings them and brings any other person to know that they can be saved. Amen. And then we see the gospel continue to expand as Jesus Christ told them, starting in Jerusalem. Starting in Jerusalem, into Judea, into Samaria, and then into the uttermost parts of the world. But in the context, as we look at Jesus Christ coming again, this same Jesus Christ that is coming again, I want us to realize this same Jesus Christ also died for the sins of the world. This same Jesus Christ died for my sins, for your sins, and as John said, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. This same Jesus was the one John the Baptist saw. And in his record, in the record of John the Apostle, he said, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It is this same Jesus that on the day that Peter and John were arranged before the Sanhedrin council in Jerusalem, after they went out to the temple at an hour of prayer and they saw that man that was lame all his life and he was seeking an alms from them, and Peter told them, silver and gold have I none, but such I have give I unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ arise and walk. And as that man stood up on his feet and began to walk for the first time, they drew attention to themselves, and Peter used that opportunity to preach to everybody that was present. And he said, look, do not think that we heal this man by our own power. It is by the power of Jesus Christ, whom you took and by your wicked hands have crucified. It is in his name that this man is walking here. And after they beat him up and threw them into jail, then the following morning they arranged them, he told them, look, there is no other name whereby we might be saved apart from the name of Jesus Christ. It is this same Jesus Christ that in Paul's testimony, as Paul, we know who he was, as we see the records in Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 5, in Acts chapter 6. But then we saw what happened to him in Acts chapter 9. On his road to Damascus, as he came face to face with the risen and living Jesus Christ, it is this same Jesus Christ that struck down Paul, and Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? It is this same Jesus Christ that transformed that killer of Christians into the most prolific missionary of all Christian history. It is that same Jesus Christ that Paul, in his testimony in Galatians chapter 2, verse 2, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is that same Jesus Christ that Paul will talk about. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. You know, Paul said those things after he said in verse 2, but ye are all dead in sins and trespasses. And we realize that it is this same Jesus Christ that, as John records in John chapter 7, in verse 37 and verse 38, that at the last day of the feast, it is this same Jesus Christ that stood up and said, whoever thirsts, let him come and drink. It is this Jesus Christ that when his disciples were sorrowful because of his soon departure, because of the cross, it is this same Jesus Christ that told them, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, guess what? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? It is this same Jesus that told Thomas, and not just Thomas, but everybody else that was present listening, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is this same Jesus that is coming again in the clouds with glory and honor. But church, it is the same Jesus Christ that gave the great commission. I want you to realize and reckon with me in the words of Mark, that disciple that went away and run back home to eat his mama's food. That first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. That same Mark was transformed by the gospel and the ministry of Jesus Christ, that he actually wrote the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In recording the Great Commission, he said, and he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is the same Jesus Christ, in the words of Luke, whose words we are looking at in the second treatise in Acts, he said, "Then opened he their understanding," referring to Jesus Christ, "that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And after he told them that, he said, "You know what? Ye are witnesses of these things. Ye are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of the fact that remission of sins is only through the name of Jesus Christ. Ye are witnesses of this fact that Jesus needed to die on the cross. You are witnesses of the fact that he needed to rise again on the third day." But more than that, as we come to the familiar text of Matthew 28, verse 18 and through 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." As we look at those three accounts or those three records of the Great Commission, we realize that it's the same Jesus Christ that gave those commissions. It is this same Jesus Christ that tells his disciples, 12 men, actually reduced to 11. "The destiny of this world lies in your hands. The destiny of many souls lies in your hands." And then it is this same Jesus Christ that told them, "I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I will come to you. And because I'm going to come to you, I want you to abide in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father." And that happened on Pentecost. And we realize after they received power, they did the impossible. Peter, that was a coward and went back to fishing, we saw him stood up and preach in Jerusalem and see 3,000 people come to bow their feet and bow their knees at the feet of Jesus Christ. And we saw the life of Paul transformed. And he became a wanted man in Jerusalem and literally around the world. When he showed up in a particular city, the accusation was like this: "These men that have turned the world upside down have come here too." And in a different place in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, the Bible tells us that these men have filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Wow. I hope that one day, at least your neighbor will say, "This my neighbor that has filled this neighborhood with what he believed." I pray that one day that this church will receive that accusation. This church that have filled this community with their doctrine have come here too. Why? Because it is this same Jesus. It is this same Jesus. And you see, the motivation is for us as believers in Christians is that it is this same Jesus Christ that also said, "He is the only way." And so it means that if anybody will see God, if anybody will have a relationship with God, if anybody will have an eternal relationship and an eternal residence in God's kingdom, it means that that person must needs hear of Jesus Christ. But church, the real motivation to us today is for us to realize in the context of this verse that this same Jesus is coming again. Amen. This same Jesus Christ is coming again. And yes, Paul tells us to look forward to his coming. We should anticipate his coming back. But there are times I think back and I evaluate my life thus far and I say, forgive me, church. I believe in the imminent rapture. But there are times I examine my state of life. I say, Lord, will you please wait a moment? I still haven't done anything yet. Now, he's not going to take that into account if he's coming, all right? But the reality is this. We have to so live in the reality of his coming that the telling of people about him becomes a daily priority. Because we know any moment he shows up, if any moment Christ shows up, it's all over for us. And we know that it's not just yet. We are going to sing in the sweet by, and we are going to enjoy in his presence. But we also have to realize that each one of us are going to stand before him as our Lord and as our Master and give an account of the lives and the ministries and the opportunities that he's given us while we are here on earth. What will your account be like? What will my account be like? Will it be like that servant that brought back 5 more talent? Will it be like that other servant that brought back 2 more talent? Or will it be that wicked and slothful servant that brought back what his master gave him? As we look forward to the coming again of this same Jesus Christ, let us realize, church, he died for the whole world. Let us realize he gave the Great Commission. Let us realize he's coming again. And you and I will stand before him. Yes, as our Lord. Yes, as our Savior. But give an account of our stewardship to him. And there's no going to be any point more important in the area that he will examine us than the area of accomplishing the Great Commission. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit that convicts us through your word. And Father, thank you that we can look to you in repentance and you can restore us just like you did to Peter. And restore us to the ministries that you have called us to. May you help each one of us that will be faithful, being witnesses for you. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor.
So in just a moment here, our musicians will play an appropriate invitation number. And one of the things that Alexander said there near the end of his message was something along the lines of telling people about Jesus needs to be for us a daily priority. You know, I thought that was really an incisive statement, not just a priority that figures to some degree into our lives, but a daily priority. You know, a guiding premise of our lives day by day by day, that we need to be at every opportunity that God gives us, making it a priority to point people to the Lord Jesus, to witness, to open our mouths, to give a tract. And I know that, you know, I can't say that that's a daily priority in my life. It's a priority, something I know is important, and I know I should do. But really, we need to be honest with ourselves about, you know, if you look on how you lived your life today, how you lived your life on Saturday, Friday, Thursday, you know, just day by day, was sharing the gospel with someone who needs it a daily priority that manifested itself then in how you lived, in what you did or didn't do. And I just want to encourage us, and let me just say, if there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, then the greatest, my greatest burden for you is that you would turn to Jesus in saving faith.